Hello and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
And tonight, guys, we're going to be talking about Christmas. Christmas.
Christmas.
Krampus.
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 I got Krampus one time, but it was after some really bad tacos.
I get Krampus once a month.
That should be a... How come no tampon slash tampax?
Tampax?
Why are they slashing?
Tampax is a brand of tampons.
What about the pads?
Tampons,
okay.
Maxi pads.
Okay. Well, how come no pad or tampon manufacturer has embraced that for Christmas? Like, when Krampus visits you at Christmas.
Well, you can actually buy green ones at Christmas.
Can you?
Yeah. So you
Weird.
Bleed red. And actually really cute.
Is that a joke or is that the truth?
No, it's for real.
Am I going to have to go and investigate
this? I don't think
that's
for real.
I'm going to be
like... What do they say on the box? They say, and now in seasonal green.
It's Holiday Gina.
Holiday Gina is my favorite Jalo Biafra song from the 1980s.
Holiday Gina.
Holiday in Camgina.
Sometimes you can even get them with like little bells. And people are like, is someone hear Christmas bells? And I'm like, oh no, that's just my hoo-ha. And then we all just look at each other knowingly, just like in the commercials. And then I go do sports activities without bleeding on myself. And it's awesome.
Week.
Holiday Gina.
A very Kotex Christmas.
I didn't know where you were going with that one, Drew.
I was like, what is Drew never sings? What is this?
It was a long one, too. I had to get the whole thing in. Yeah.
It was very breathy. You were very Marilyn Monroe-esque with your singing.
It was filled with the Christmas spirit.
Speaking of the Christmas spirit, this week's episode is Krampus. Is that how you say it, Drew?
I'm American. I say,
oh my God.
Krampus.
Oh my God, guys! Even revisiting that commercial is can I just get that? I got the Christmas Krampus. I need something to cram my pussy.
I don't think the commercial would say that at all.
Oh my
God! I don't think they would.
Brian, Jesus Christ!
That's what you call a nasty one, a Krampussy. I'm gonna get up in that old nasty thing with its cloven hooves and funky.
You know,
like the worst date ever.
I was okay with the beginning segment, and then you guys were like, you know what?
We haven't a little further.
It's been like 5 minutes since we've alienated anyone. Let's see where we can take this.
I guess they're just cram pussies then for being alienated.
I like to think that you're saying crayon pussies now.
Ocean sprays.
Krampus, eh? I hope to God they made a porn version of Krampus called Krampussy.
I mean, I like to say, why would they have at this point? I still think it's a little new.
I mean, we're missing the. I mean, we have the words cram.
Some of your contacts in the porn community.
I'm going to all these ideas we've talked about tonight. I'm going to be pitching them to all sorts of people here in the near future. Trust me.
Mostly Larry Fessenden, though, right?
Yes, mostly Larry Fessenden.
Once we started the movie and I saw a house in snow, I was like, Larry Fessenden has to. There's no guarantee he's not Krampus.
Oh my gosh.
There's no guarantee he's not Krampus in this movie.
So I'm Krampus.
Let's get right into Krampus and talk about Krampus. And that I'm going to go ahead and say this movie pleased the hell out of me.
Okay, I'm glad that you gave it such an introduction that you're like, hey, let's talk. I know we're on a podcast, and what we're going to do is talk about this movie. But let's talk about this movie called Krampus, and I like it.
We did Saint and Rare Exports as episodes, right?
Yes, we did.
Saint.
That's what I thought. Saint. Saint.
We did it two Christmases ago.
I don't remember that. I don't. Yeah. What is that movie about?
It was so awesome. It was the Evil Santa movie from Denmark. That was Danish.
Yeah, because we watched the Norwegian, which we don't know which is which. From if you guys recall our couple episodes ago, when we should try to remember what country did what. Wasn't Rare Exports Norwegian?
I don't remember.
It's Finnish.
I remember Rare Exports.
It was set in Finland.
It was set
in Finland.
I remember Finland. I remember Rare Exports. I don't remember Saint.
Saint was fun. Saint was the one with the evil Santa, and he was running around like the town.
Oh,
actually,
yeah. People. I do remember that movie. Okay.
Yeah. I liked those two movies. I think I liked Krampus better.
Yes. Yeah.
Krampus is definitely better than Rare Exports.
But and I like having a lot of evil Santa movies, though, so that's
it
cool.
It has the payoff that the other movies don't really have.
That was still Rare Exports' problem, yes, is it doesn't have the payoff.
Doesn't have the payoff. This has the payoff. Like this,
which, this harkened a lot back to Rare Exports, especially the design of Krampus.
Krampus, yeah.
The horns. Mm-hmm.
I like the face. I like the kind of the displaced countenance yeah. that it had that didn't quite match up with the rest of the body.
Like the sucked back, like kind of mouth, like the like looked like a Dementor or something.
I was bothered by the tongue until I looked later at another Krampus picture, and apparently he has a huge long tongue.
So I didn't realize that this was the director of Trick or Treat until after the movie, and it fits, like it totally fits. Where does
he go next though?
I don't know.
Where do you go now? I mean, what holiday is left?
Valentine's
Easter.
Yeah. Easter.
I mean, it's got to follow the calendar year.
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day would show up next.
Columbus Day. What if he made a movie?
Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Oh, no.
It's the next holiday.
It is the next holiday.
Well, unless you do just New Year's. I guess we could just do New Year's because we missed that
New Year's
one.
Evil.
New Year's Weevil. And it's about
yes
bugs that attack. It's like slugs meets New Year's.
And at the very end, when they... when the bad guy's like, I built this whole weevil army to destroy you. You killed my best one. He's like, well, maybe next time you choose the lesser of two weevils.
No one needs to make a New Year's Eve horror movie. Gary Marshall beat them to it.
New Year's Evil?
New Year's Eve.
Which is
it's horrific.
It's one of those
scarier than anything you've ever seen.
Is it one of those giant, like, collection mm-hmm. of people movies that he made? Because he also made the Valentine's Day one, right?
And that's pretty scary too.
I think,
like,
that's...
seriously, when you go to holidays and you want scary movies, they're your scariest too.
I think that movie, what was the one, the Valentine's Day one?
You just named it.
Valentine's. Is it called Valentine's Day? Okay.
They're not creatively named.
I think that's the most arrogant.
The one that was creatively named was Love Actually, and that's because it was the first
one. But that's
one.
Not Gary Marshall.
That's not Gary Marshall.
That's actually, that's
like,
Richard
obviously
Curtis.
Gary Marshall watched that, and he was like, I think they're on to something.
Well, I think the most...
Gary Marshall, he said, I think they're on to something.
I think the most disconcerting thing about that movie is that Gary Marshall is arrogant enough to think that he can speak for that entire holiday. No, this is... the Valentine's Day movie, guys.
Did either of those movies feature a trailer with the Black Eyed Peas? I got a feeling.
Probably both.
Both of those movies were actually like hour and 40-minute trailers.
Yeah. I actually saw Valentine's Day in the theater.
Oh, I know.
I saw them both.
Drew, you had a reason to...
Traumatic still.
I saw it on opening night with a gaggle of women.
It's traumatic.
Yeah, but you were working.
Was this like a date situation?
Who, for me? No.
Tyler. Was
my wife.
Yeah, it was a date.
You didn't just go with a bunch of women?
No.
Like, hey girls, do you
sit
need
by
a
himself?
Maybe with
I
you?
Wish like that would sit better in my memory. But no.
Laughing
Valentine's
really
Day.
Awkwardly at Ashton Kutcher scenes.
I didn't do that either. Oh, weird fact.
Oh, I meant by yourself. That's what I was meaning.
Weird fact I learned about Ashton Kutcher this past weekend. He had a one-time girlfriend who was murdered by a serial killer.
Yes, it's on an episode of either Dateline or 48 Hours that I have mm-hmm. DVR'd and watched several times late at night by myself.
Was he crazy? That
sounds like the bad idea.
No, they had a fight.
He
was going to go to like some party with him, but she got murdered before.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
yeah.
That's bad news.
Yeah, they got into a fight because she wanted to hang out with him for not the Oscars. But what's the one for TV?
The Golden Globes party.
They were supposed to have. They were supposed to meet, and they ended up saying like, "No, He said, "I'll just come over to your house afterward." He showed up, and she went. Since they had had a fight, he knocked, and she didn't answer, so he left. But before he left, he looked through the window and saw what he thought was spilled wine in the living room, and left. And later, someone came over and found her body.
It was her blood.
When he left, he said, "I got a feeling."
So basically, Ashton Kutcher killed a girl.
I thought this was one long joke to say that. I'm just kidding. It was really Wilder Valderrama. Say that ass.
Shaggy Dog story. No, it's crazy. It's crazy to find that out.
It's Danny Hyde. It's
the
Hyde.
Stars. They're
Danny Masterson. Sorry, I mixed
Danny
the two
Masterson.
Names there.
Yeah. Danny Masterson, who is a Scientologist.
And Hyde was the character.
Damn, that's crazy. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's pretty insane to think, like,
I did not know that.
He's
that
had, some,
had a hell of a life.
Yeah, he's had some bad run-ins because he also potentially, I mean, he dated Brittany Murphy, and she, there was a rumor that she was poisoned.
Her also.
Yeah, like she died. And yeah,
there's
it's rumored
there's
that she was
the
poisoned.
Rumor that she was poisoned, yeah.
I think
I'd like to think that her career is poisoned by Little Black Book.
Yeah.
So if Demi Moore dies soon, then we know he's just a straight up serial killer.
Well, but she's old, so it could just be natural causes.
Bruce Willis won't stand for that.
No.
That's what happened to the Steve Jobs movie. He poisoned it.
God.
He's like, if mine's not going to be successful, Danny Boyle, yours won't be.
Could you imagine like going through your whole life as a journalist and just to be able to confront Ashton Kutcher at one point and be like,
so rumors are you're a serial killer.
And then they go, so you had some bad luck. Like one of your girlfriends died. Yeah. Did you make her watch the Steve Jobs movie? Just so you could get to that point. Because you'd never be able to interview anybody else again after that.
Unless you worked for Howard Stern and you could have done that if you'd been like stuttering John.
You make that joke if you hold the hand out for a high five and just wait for it. That would be played on every clip show for the rest of your life.
No, I was thinking you were going with the route of the joke that I heard that one of your girlfriends died, and his response is actually two of them died.
And then you could say, "Oh, did you let them watch your movie? Did you show them your movie career?"
No, you just stop at that point because you realize you're an asshole. Like that's the point where you're like, "Hey, I heard one of your girlfriends died. No, it was two." And then you kill yourself because you're the worst person in the world.
People who listen know that's established that I am pretty much agreed upon the worst person in the world.
But I don't think you'd actually say that. You're actually a really kind person in real life.
Let's test it out. Let's get him in a room with Ashton Kutcher. Let's see what happens.
I want to turn you into the stuttering John of this podcast. Like we just send you like the time that stuttering John asked Rene Russo if she douched before love scenes. I want to send you out into the world to ask those kinds of questions.
So the Jennifer Flowers did. Yeah, did Governor Clinton wear a condom?
Yeah.
I'd like to be more like the Zach Galifianakis between two ferns.
Yeah. John. But the joke...
I'll be stuttering John. I'll be fine with it.
The joke is always on Zach Galifianakis.
That's true.
It's not on... So you have to turn into self-effacing humor. Let's give us a self-effacing joke.
I can't think of one. I'm just thinking about his... Did you see the between two ferns with Brad Pitt? And you're like... Do you need to wear a jacket? Is it cold where you stand all the time? Why? I'm standing in your wife's shadow.
See, that's not self-effacing.
All right, let's get to Krampus.
Okay. I don't know. I like this word. I think
you're going to edit this up. You're going to leave all the Krampus stuff and then take all these excerpts and put it into a Principle of Uncertainty podcast.
That's it.
A clip show.
All right.
That's his end of the year show. He's got to have something, you know?
Yeah, man. Which we will be having our fourth annual end of the year episode.
I forgot that's coming up.
That's coming up, man. I'm excited about it. Let's talk it up because it's going to be good. Lona, this will be the first year you're featured on an end of year episode. Are you excited about talking about your favorite video games of the year?
Yes.
Good. Your favorite books of the year?
I also do that too.
What do women do?
Yeah.
Well,
tell us one of those things.
Their favorite nail polish.
What's your? Yeah, let's be in. Yeah.
This is my favorite tampon of the year.
Yeah. So
it's
we have
seasonal
to
one, right?
Best form of Plan B for the year. This was the best skinny margarita I had. This was the best pickup line that my friend heard, but I didn't get it because boys don't like me.
She'll have the advent calendar of birth control pills.
21 regular days and then 7 days where you just
it's blank.
You just want to eat all of the salsa and guacamole there is in the house. But you don't know who ate it all, but then you realize you live with yourself, so it's you.
Yeah, so we'll have to change it this year to include, you know, stuff for women. Because, you know, we can't be on even footing. It can't be just that women like stuff. It has to be that women like women stuff.
And there'll be 30%
favorite things.
You'll be like, this was my favorite video game. I'll be like, this was my favorite pink video game.
Yeah, this is my favorite video game for girls.
Yeah, what's like, your favorite thing you pinned?
And I was like, this is my favorite women's series.
Yeah.
This is the Barbie video game.
This was my favorite edition of Red Book or Good Housekeeping.
That's a good call. I like that. Because I think we're opening our demographics by doing
that. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, the bitches will love this.
I think Target had the wrong idea by going away from that.
36 ways to drive his podcast crazy. All right, let's talk about Krampus. We have
if we do that, let's make sure we make it.
I think Brian saw Krampus. He keeps trying to get us off track.
Sure, we have it on all on like no long list. It's just next. We have to keep clicking next.
Yeah.
I love those listicles.
I know. It's like, well, it doesn't start until the fifth slide, and then it ends three slides before it ends. So it's actually five things out of 36.
The fucking internet. All right, Krampus.
Krampus is a good movie.
I did not expect to like Adam Scott as much as I did in the film either.
He's not in it that much.
But
I agree with that. But what I liked,
that's what I liked about him. I didn't know how he's going to carry being a father.
Yeah, I agree with that. I can see that.
I think I like Adam Scott. I enjoy everything he's done. I really wish that they had left him as the family from Step Brothers. That should have been his wife and two kids, the people from the car doing Sweet Child of Mine a cappella.
Right. I think this. I mean, I think this is very much more a time for him to be his kind of his Ben character from Parks and Rec, that kind of guy. And I think that's similar to what he was, but you know, overwhelmed by family and jobs and everything like that. I am a little over the, you know, the Christmas movie motif of it's all awful and the holidays are the worst thing ever. It's like if they were, I mean. They are, but they aren't, and movies are getting a little too much into that. But I thought it fit with this one because it works really well. This is a great stand-in for National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is what it is, with Gremlins.
Agreed.
And, you know, I don't know what else.
Actually what I compared it to when I told Kate about it. Because Kate came home and was like, hey, did you like your movie? I was like, yeah. She said, oh, well, my friend said it got really terrible reviews. I was like, well, thanks. And then I looked it up.
Where did she read it, though?
No, but...
Marie Claire?
NPR. Well, girl stuff, so the girl version of NPR. GNPR. And so, it actually had good reviews. I think maybe she read...
Hello Giggles. It's not GNPR.
But anyway, to that point, like, that's how I described it, was Christmas Vacation sort of meets Gremlins.
And how did you not cast David Koechner as Eddie if you're remaking Lampoon's anything? He's
amazing.
He is the new Eddie.
And until we get to the scene of Krampus on the roof, that freaky, like, the very first scene we see him, I almost forgot I was watching a horror film.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was enjoying the family playing off each other. I liked David Koechner's role. Everyone seemed to be just in a shitty mood. You know,
the Home Alone vibe.
Yeah, the cousins were just complete assholes.
Yeah. And, oh my god, that one kid who just stared with his mouth open.
I will say the movie works on a lot of different levels, and I think the holidays do suck. But it works in the theme of this because this movie is built around the theme of holidays suck, and it turns it into something else. Like, it actually does something with it. The other reason I think this movie is successful is it does not merely stagnate in the idea that the relatives are shitty. Like, they become sort of real people over the course of the book, a movie.
They do, yeah.
And you actually see them. I don't even think
when the shit hits the fan, they become people, not just awful caricatures. Holiday family.
I think the movie, what is the director's name? I can't remember his name. But
Michael Dougherty.
Michael Dougherty. So
Dougherty, I guess, probably.
His skill in this movie is being able to walk the line between allowing them to be mere caricatures, to be to just be there to be hated, which I think happens all too often in horror movies, and being characters you can identify with, because there are even moments before the shit hits the fan where you see the humanity in these characters, especially the woman who was in the first season of Fargo. Allison Tolman, I think, she has some stuff to work with here. And I think David Koechner is like so broad a character that it's amazing that when he does rein it in, that it actually works. Like that was kind of the amazing things for me.
I agree with you. I agree with that too. And it's like what you always hope would happen in a bad situation with your family. Yeah. You know, you can't stand them for some part, but if the shit hit the fan, you'd be like, all right, we're family. Let's get it done.
Let's lock arms and deal with this.
Right.
Yeah. Even at Dorothy.
Mm-hmm. I know, and she's the most surprising one because she was the most repulsive, but also redeems herself somewhat, especially when she gets a gun. I really did like the sort of Dawn of the Dead / Zombieland beginning of this movie, like the slow motion kind of the people running into the Walmart type
Black Friday thing.
I thought those were really super.
Was it Mucho Mart?
I think yeah, was what it was
something
called.
Of that nature.
And they were having a play in Mucho Mart, I guess.
And it's also it's the night before Christmas, which is not when people are. I guess they're not knocking. It's a Black Friday thing.
It was like 23rd, right?
Yeah, it was 4 days before Christmas because they were locked in the house.
The 23rd, so
yeah,
Christmas. 25th, well, I thought they have it on the 25th.
Right, but I thought
year.
They had. They said we because remember the one kid said we have in the house for 3 days.
Right.
Yeah, they got there on the.
It's math.
Give up.
I don't know.
That was my head shake of giving up.
I mean.
Oh no, I meant Lona.
I'm a girl.
You're not getting.
Girl math.
Because remember the advent calendar.
Our numbers are pink.
You're right. You have the.
Let us mansplain to you.
Which is, again, very National Lampoon's.
I don't understand your numbers unless they have sequins on them.
Unless they're bedazzled.
Like, this is so nice. I'm going to wear it in my hair. I love three.
Ooh, an advent calendar with a pretty bow for a lady every day. That's a good idea.
I'm pretty sure Pinterest has probably got like 10,000 of those.
Right, guys, I'm having so many ideas tonight. It's ridiculous.
It's like we've been doing cocaine.
I know.
Or Adderall. It's like we've been snorting Adderall. It's just like all ideas.
Let's make a deal that we just leave Skype on all the time.
Okay, fair.
And then every once in a while we walk by the window and go, hey, man, what's up?
I actually did that on Sunday when I recorded an episode and accidentally did not hit stop recording. So there's 3 hours of material there.
Nice.
But it wasn't good, was it?
It wasn't. Well, it was me getting up, clearing my throat, and walking away and coming back 3 hours and going, oh, shit. And that's it.
Not two hours of crying.
I mean, you can cut out the middle part.
Yeah.
So that's an episode of Principled Uncertainty.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's normally what it is me doing nothing for an hour and then saying, oh, shit, let's end this.
I loved that this movie was PG-13, but it didn't play like PG-13 at all. I never thought while watching it, like, oh man, they cut from this or that because they had to. Like, I mean, people died. People that we didn't expect to die died. Yes. I thought, you know, early, especially that
the sister
Jack in the Box is the most frightening thing I've seen on screen this year.
Yeah,
like with the distended mandible, jaw, like,
the predator,
the lower mandible, the predator mandible. Yeah.
No, it was. It had some of the also had some of the best practical effects of any. I mean, the gingerbread men, that was kind of pulled
me. They were fun, though. That was a very Gremlins-esque scene.
It was Gremlins / Army of Darkness. Like, it kind of had, like, an Evil Dead 2 kind of vibe.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine a holiday-themed
Army of Darkness? I can. I would love to see that.
That would be nice. How's Ash vs. Evil Dead not going to have a holiday-themed episode?
I know. They have to.
I mean, especially since he works at S-Mart. I mean, that would be...
He doesn't in the show.
Yeah. I thought he does at the beginning. I haven't watched past. Like,
it's a different store.
No, it's
right?
a different store. It's an electronics store. I don't remember what it's called, but it's not S-Mart.
Schmestschmai.
Yeah, Schmestschmai. Buy More. The Buy More, as it is in Reaper.
Yeah. Oh, man, I missed that show.
So,
I like that.
So yeah, I think the script really is what does a lot for this movie. I liked how the characters are set up. They don't need too much backstory, but I think that... what is Adam Scott's wife's...
Toni Collette,
I think, does a fantastic job of...
She always does.
She does a fantastic job of giving her character weight. Like, all of the characters have an amount of weight.
Why you gotta call it Pat? Like, why do you gotta bring weight into it?
Well, we're talking
about... No, I wasn't talking about Alison Tolman.
Going all the way back to Muriel's wedding here. Jeez.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about Alison Tolman. I was talking about Toni Collette.
Boom! We just isolated... Well,
who knew that Tyler would be the fat shamer?
Oh, I do.
Oh, this guy. I mean, you're the one who's always pegged as, like, you know, the bad guy, but
that was out of character. I realized.
Oh, I know my boundaries. I know you guys don't think I do, but I do.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
All right, see ya. Go. I think there's an issue of Cosmo behind you. So just flip through that and look up with disdain at us every once in a while.
62 ways to show your displeasure.
Do you
to
see
men.
That picture behind me?
That's not a Cosmo.
No, that is actually every movie ticket from every movie I went to from high school until about 1996.
Oh my gosh, wow. I kept mine for a while too. Hey. I didn't make anything with them because they faded. I couldn't even read what they were.
These are the ones that I have not hung up for the last. 20 years.
I do like the movie Krampus, but the idea I like more is for us to talk about things that are in our rooms that people who are listening to the podcast can't see. So let's I've got a couch that
kickball, a toaster,
a cat scratched. I have a zombie poster you guys can't see.
Maybe I've, Bjorn.
I have two guitars on the wall.
Listen, I'm sensing your sarcasm, and I don't.
And an ergo. I have two ways to carry a baby on your chest.
What?
So, also, an article in Cosmo.
Yeah.
How many ways to use your baby as a scarf?
10 ways to not have to touch your baby.
No, that's all about
10 ways
skin.
The baby touches your chest. He's all over your chest at that point.
That's skin time right there.
So yeah, I do.
Because you wear them naked.
Yes.
So I do like the script in the movie. I think it does the movie a lot of. It does the characters a lot. Like when I tweeted at what's his name? But at Freddy in Space. Yeah.
John Squires.
And I tried to. I didn't want to get into this conversation, but the thing that I wasn't able to say in 140 characters is that yes, I saw promos for this movie, but I don't think they did the movie justice. I think they played the movie too broad and too comedic and too much like a parody for it to be a successful campaign. And
I hope,
like, I don't know if you guys disagree.
Too many characters, yeah.
Like, what do you got? Did you see that as well when you saw the trailer? I was like, this looks like it could be shitty because I didn't realize it was the Trick or Treat guy.
No,
I realized it could have been because any of this stuff could. I did have more faith because I did know who it was coming from, I guess.
But did you get that from the trailer? Is you know
I
what
just
I mean?
Ignore. I've seen so many trailers and I just don't. I don't base a lot of times if there's something I want to see, I don't pay attention to the trailer at all at that point. I'm trying to think of something else recently. Like the worst Edge of Tomorrow is the worst advertised movie in the past decade, probably,
Easily.
It's fantastic, and that trailer makes it look like it's going to be terrible and not funny.
An overwrought science fiction movie, but it's not.
Yeah, and so I just, if I want to see something, I ignore that, I guess. But it could certainly change my mind about it because I didn't want to see Edge of Tomorrow until I heard it was good.
Yeah.
Krampus I wanted to see anyway, and I was just glad it was good.
Yeah.
Because I was still afraid. I didn't know. It could have
The trailer looked terrible to me. Like, I just thought the trailer was not bueno. And so I avoided as much contact with it as possible. And so I was glad when we decided to do it anyway. And it seems like a movie that could have some legs because it opened number two at the box office. So if it doesn't have a huge fall off at the box office this week, it could have some legs throughout the Christmas season.
I think that the only thing keeping this from being an R-rated movie was if we'd have had any extra, like a lot of blood.
Yeah.
Which I understand that's what probably made it a PG-13 movie, but
right. Also
it keeps all
also
those action movies from being PG-13 where they kill hundreds of people, but
Brian,
never with blood.
Brian, also penetration that kept this movie from having an R rating. definitely kept it.
What penetration? Someone did get stabbed with an icicle.
That's not what I mean.
It was there was a Lars von Trier cut.
Yeah, right. Lars von Trier did his own remix of this, and it's all Krampus penetration.
Yeah, and that one honestly has Willem Dafoe as Krampus, and Charlotte Gainsborough is
Aunt Charlotte.
Grant plays Omi in that one.
Yeah, Omi, and it's just Krampus on Omi action for 2 hours.
And then at one point, Omi cuts off her clit.
That was his cut. Yeah, that was his cut of it. Yeah.
His cut.
It didn't play well with focus groups, and so they redid it.
They redid it. They fired him. And
Omi's got some bad luck. She's attracted Krampus twice.
Bad luck, or is it? But I mean, does she have something to do with that?
Let's also discuss how amazing that animated scene of her childhood was, like right in the middle of the film. Good.
I was
like, when it started happening, I was like, holy shit.
That could have been its own movie.
Yeah. I was like, this is
amazing. It was Coraline.
And it kind of, that's a big risk to take in such a big film like that.
Yeah.
A big film?
Well.
I see what you mean. Like, it's a big risk to take in a largely, with a big release. I mean, this was, I was in Cinema One. I've never been in Cinema One for a movie at my local Cineplex.
I was not sure where I was going when they told me. It's like, it's in one to the left. And I started walking. And I was like,
you must have seen it at the University 16.
It's the only place I had.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the only place. It was the closest. Yeah. It was the best option I had at that
point. You don't want to drive to Winder?
No. And Carmike has 30 minutes of trailers. I can't do that. Like, that's the one problem with Carmike is I can't do their 30 minutes of trailers. Georgia Theater Company does 10 minutes tops, and I can handle that. But
I love how
when Carmike gets to the third, when
the servers in there now too, which are incredibly disruptive.
But okay, I get that. But when Carmike gets to its third trailer for itself, I'm here. Why are you still telling me why I should be here? Like, I'm here.
You just woke up.
I love how down to a science you have the theaters in town too. That is like, you have got them down pat. You should just, I think the next, you should do that for the paper, is just say, hey, I'm going to do a review on the theater so people know which theater to watch a film if they don't want to deal with trailers. Or if they decide to run late and come in 30 minutes later, go to Carmike because they're not going to start it for 30 more minutes.
Go to Carmike, yeah. Exactly. The servers are disruptive, but they have their system is better than the other ones in town for eating and food and all, considering you can get it inside. Although eating wings in the dark is really awkward.
Yes.
It's just
because it's dark and you're like, is it all over me? I don't know where it, you know.
Lights and it's all I'm.
But
just,
I like it. That's that. If you're doing food, do it there. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, go there so I don't have to deal with you.
The loud smacking.
I would have to ask, like, as far as the reason that Krampus, I think you brought up an interesting point earlier, like, what is it that brings Krampus? Is it that, so he rips the, all right, so the little kid, he believes in Santa, defying logic, and he...
Does he seem a little old for that, right?
Right, yeah, I think that's kind of a narrative problem. I was like, does he really believe, or does he believe because he's a good person? I don't know. Like, I thought that was kind of unclear. Because
he seems like a bad kid, too. Like, we kind of set him up as to do fights and all this stuff. You know,
but for the sake of Christmas. And so...
Right, but that's still... Santa's not looking at him. Oh, you are fighting for me, little boy.
I don't think it's like the white beard he believes in. I think the problem is that he believes in the Christmas spirit, and that's what he loses, which brings Krampus in.
So okay, is it when he...
It's like like a human being. It's what he... What you think Christmas is supposed to be like before you hit puberty and see how fucked up your family is.
Now, also, let's the kid's also kind of being a whiny kid, because his problem was that he just didn't like the way his family was treating him. Omi's problem was that her town was starving, and she got really upset that she thought that Santa didn't exist. Okay. So Krampus was being a little bit of a dick in that situation.
Okay, to be fair, as the owner of an extremely whiny child.
We're with you. I'm with you. I understand that point.
No,
okay.
I was waiting for the audible agreement of yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying, like, is that not something that you could see my child doing? Could you not see my kid being the little boy in that movie?
Oh, totally. One in the Babadook.
Well, yeah, I know, but we don't have to bring that up.
And also in Cub, right? He was one of the kids in Cub.
Oh, fuck you guys.
So the question I have, though, was...
So Scott Farkas from Story.
Really?
So the problem, the question I have is, is it that he tears up the letter, or is it just like, is that just the representation? Because the letter comes back later, and like, is that just the manifestation, the metaphor of his loss of the Christmas spirit? And is that like, that's what brings Krampus?
That's what I took from it.
And so why is he the last? Is he the golden child? Is he the last bastion? Is he the last dragon that brings Krampus? Because Krampus does not begin and end with that household. It's the entire block, the entire street, the entire town. Like, what is it? Is it that he is the last lingering tendon of spirit?
It's the war on Christmas.
Wait, Lona, what'd you say?
The Democrats' war on Christmas.
I think he just so fervently believed in the idea of Christmas and what it meant, and it was so devastating to him to have it kind of be taken away from him.
He seems
so sensitive.
It feels like the inverse of Jesus Christ, where it's like, when I was growing up, the overarching belief was that
33 ways to win Jesus back in your life.
Right. Well, the way that people talked about it when I was a kid was that there will be a moment when no one is thinking of Jesus, and that is the moment when he will return, which is meant to make...
I'm just waiting for that. He just shows up just like, hey.
Just pops up on Skype.
He'll return.
We're all like, Laura Barnes, no, Jesus Christ.
He will return and and everyone will think
he's... Who is this other person? Get him off Skype. Get him off Skype. Hey, guys, no, it's me. It's Jesus.
He's bleeding all over his
keyboard.
Why
is this guy dressed like
He's like Black Jesus.
How does this work? How do you Skype? I don't get it.
I'm sorry, my Jesus has blue eyes, so I know you're not the real one.
But no, the point is, it seems as though it's that inverse of like, this kid is the last one who believes, and everyone else has given up on Christmas, and like that is what brings about this. But it doesn't.
But Drew's point earlier about Omi's connection to this is interesting, because maybe the whole connection is Omi, and she's responsible for making sure that they continue to believe. Because look how. I mean, because Omi is
fucked up.
Omi is really into Christmas. She is baking.
They took her out too.
She's baking those cookies as like talisman.
Yeah, she is really into the whole Christmas thing. She's, you know, cooking hot chocolate, and then all of a sudden, she, you know, if she was supposed to be the one that, you know, kept the fires burning for Christmas, and then her own kin kind of shit on it, then Krampus is like, "You fucked up, Omi."
I like to think that, like you said, there has to be some way he kind of chooses. I think he probably focuses. It's a more personal thing. He focuses on who did he spare to keep the you know, stoking the fires of the spirit, and she was trying, but she wasn't able to, despite all those cookies. Was that cookie sequence not very Gremlins there too?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's what I always thought when I saw that sequence too.
And then we can there are a couple confusing parts, like the end sequence with the crystal, with the snow globe.
Let's wait to get to that a little bit later. Okay. Say the question I have is, what do you think is more?
If the moon was made of cheese, would you take a bite?
The question I have is, what do you think is the more successful strategy?
It'd be delicious.
If you were a hot dog and you were starving, would you eat yourself?
Would you eat yourself?
I know I would.
With relish.
Wash it down with a couple cold Budweisers.
Tyler hates us all.
I do. I hate y'all so fucking much.
It's just because you started off with, the question is. That's just what he said on that. You're not listening to the question, Doc. All right, go ahead. All right, the question is.
What do you think is the more successful strategy for making sure that Christmas continues? Do you think Krampus or Santa Claus is the better route?
Santa?
I don't know. Some people only respond to threats.
Right. That's what I think. Like, I think Krampus is more successful. That it's going to kill 7 out of 8 people, but that 8th person will believe in Christmas.
Unless it's this kid. And he sits there because he decides he wants to fight back rather than carry the spirit on.
Yeah.
Right, because Omi doesn't fight back and continues like...
But she sort of fought back.
But her family didn't come back.
But she went back in to face him later.
Well, yeah, later when she was trying to save the rest of the family.
I mean, like, you know, people's courage comes at different times in their lives.
Did you guys happen to catch the Ryan Gosling Santa Baby short from SNL last Saturday?
Mm-hmm. No.
So look it up. After
I saw the alien one where he broke character.
But he could not keep his, cool.
Watch the Santa Baby. It's a, you know, like one of those mini films, so it's not live. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
It's a short.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, I saw that.
It's a mini film, says the shorts court, you know. Programmer for the Chattanooga Film Festival.
I do mini films.
I call them mini films. They're everyone's films,
full
guys.
Full of dwarves.
But,
and they're minions in them, right? They're minion films.
So just go look up Santa Baby.
That's the number 10 biggest box office hit of all time.
Minions?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Jeez. If you're looking at nominal box office, not real box office.
Adjusted for inflation?
No, that would be real. Nominal is not adjusted for inflation.
It's Ryan Gosling is like a kid who completely believes in Santa, and he's like, you, what was it, that angel man delivered presents to my house every year until my parents died suddenly. It's good. Well, I'm not doing it justice, but it's really good. It's like a good David Lynch, Quentin Tarantino version of a human being at Christmas.
Well, it's Ryan Gosling playing everything.
I just like Keenan at that point when he's ready to go home.
Yes.
All right, so as far as the so in Krampus, once he shows, is it that I have a lot of questions about this movie because I am
Michael Dougherty, the writer director, and I'm here to answer them.
The movie logic of the film.
I am Adam Scott.
I'm just a girl. I like movies.
I'd like to thank my
23 movies to watch friends. Before you die. Cosmo, February 2014. Pitch 318.
I was doing my Adam Scott from You Talking You Two to Me impression. Like, I like to thank my family, my friends, my wife, and my kids. All right, go ahead.
I've already forgotten the question I was going to ask.
You like this movie, and you have a lot of issues with this movie. And a lot of questions.
Like questions, not issues, questions.
No, yeah, like, so in movie logic, I get it. Like, he has minions who start, but what function do they serve? Are they, like, because they kill for him. Like, what is Krampus just merely the person who mops up at the end? Is he kind of like the black hat at the end of
CEO
Pod?
I'll take this one, Adam. No.
You're right, because it could just be him, because he is horrific enough without his minions.
I was kind
those elves are creepy.
It reminded me a lot of Labyrinth. Like, I felt like, holy shit, these are real elves.
I actually was a little disappointed at first that it was not just Krampus, that it was these other things as well. I feel like, in a way, it dilutes, like, even though they're horrific, in a way it kind of dilutes the overall impact of this creature. Like, all those things are creepy, but I kind of expected to be Krampus. But then again, like, it gave the movie variety, whereas it wasn't just one being that was terrorizing them. Like, that would have grown entirely too monotonous. So I think, like, it gives the movie variety, but it also seems to dilute the effect of this thing, which really all Krampus does in this movie is stand there, breathe, and stick out his tongue.
Right.
But if Krampus is the sort of dark side of Santa, then wouldn't it stand to reason that there are dark sides to his elves and dark side to his reindeer and all his happy
things?
That's true.
I didn't see that. Where are the dark reindeer?
They're on the roof. They're on the roof, Drew.
I mean, they were there, but we didn't really see those as much as the toys. Those are talk about misfit toys.
Mm-hmm.
Those were misfit toys. Like, I'm sorry, polka-dotted elephants and a water gun that shoots jelly. That's just you put the wrong thing in the water gun. So if we're talking about misfit toys, those aren't. But these things, that teddy bear and that angel and
not toys,
the Jack in the Box. That, I mean, in Rudolph, that misfit was a misfit because it was Charlie in the Box. Change your fucking name.
Hey, you said that wasn't a toy you wanted. I would buy all the toys from this film if they put them out right now.
Mm. What toy didn't I want?
Funko.
No,
Funko
Pop. Luke said those aren't toys that you want. Like the horrible toys that they were in the movie.
Unless it's a Barbie Dreamhouse, I don't want that.
So were these snowmen the people they'd killed?
Oh, right, because at one point it's like the kid.
Yeah, well, I thought it was...
Yeah, that was my assumption.
As each one comes up, there's one fewer person in the
house.
I didn't
even notice that.
Yeah.
It's math.
So, like, the first one he saw, was that the sister?
Let's talk about that death. Like, I thought that one came... I thought she was not the... I was not expecting her to be the first character to die. Like, by
As soon as they send her out to do that, I did. But I did not until then.
I didn't think
she'd get back, but...
I didn't think she would be one of the ones to die. Like, I think that was what was so surprising, is she brought something to the movie that no other character did. So I thought, like, oh, well, she's going to be necessary at least for a while. I honestly, coming into this movie, didn't know that people would die, really.
And let's be honest, everyone dies in this movie.
But you also don't think that kids are going to be the first ones to die. You just assume that kids are sort of off limits, generally.
And I also
thought those were puppies.
Well, I was really hoping the dog would die, but he didn't.
And he actually had one good redeeming scene.
He did.
Yeah.
I actually...
Dogs are awesome.
Oh, he saved Keckner. I don't know if that was redeeming.
The narrative,
or Uncle Howard. I like saving Keckner.
Yes.
The narrative reason why I didn't think she would die was that it seemed like the moment where she goes out, sees what's crazy that's happening, and she is the one who brings the news back to the family. Like, that's what I expected. Mm-hmm. I did not expect her to die underneath... Like, a la Jurassic World underneath that car.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was really surprising.
We never really even got to see. It was like snake coming out of the Jack in the Box.
It was the Jack in the Box. Like, was it in...
I don't think it was the same one, was it?
I think
or did
that
it
was...
just get bigger? No. Because he had already given it to him, hadn't he?
I think that's a scene that could have been made more clear. Like, I feel like we could have had more in there to leave. It left too much to the imagination.
That's the trailers
for the movie, though. Isn't she underneath that truck and something grabs her by the feet and pulls her back?
I don't know. That's the only PG-13 scene in the movie. Like, that, it's made less sensical because that was to keep it PG-13. That's the one scene in the movie where I thought, when they cut away, this is why they cut away. Because I agree, it could have made more sense, and that's why I think you'll. And let's face it, we know we're all going to have the unrated director's cut or whatever later. So
let's hope so.
What and I'm sure that scene will not be any better. It'll just be oh,
it shows her like being dragged out from her car, which, unlike in movies, if it happened in real life, of course your head or your back would catch something underneath the car and just rip your skin or give you a big old chunk out of your
she's
head.
She's wearing a lot of like jackets and stuff. So
that's true.
Has a lift on it.
A lot of layers.
It is true.
What is the thing in the snow? The tremor, the a la tremors. What is that? Is it ever revealed or is it all unseen, sight unseen?
Everyone knows it's snow snakes. Did you guys ever read that Christmas story?
So
it's
I missed that
one. Just like Dune?
Yeah, it pretty much was.
Or the, Beetlejuice?
God, I almost had on the tip of my tongue the like Dune names of like the snakes, and I lost it. I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to pull the Dune snake, the Kwisatz Haderach, or the Gamgebar.
So it's just the sand snakes of Beetlejuice, though.
Yes, the sand snakes.
I don't know what it was. No, that's it's an interesting question. I like not knowing what that was.
Yeah, I'd have to see it.
I did not even once understand nor buy why Toni Collette's character, who wasn't going to be able to save her sister, sat there and said, put her kid and the other and the niece in the car and then truck and then said, I'll be, and then goes and essentially sacrifices herself. I thought that was one of the worst scenes in the movie.
I
thought it was a dumb scene.
I thought that entire scene was, it did not account for pacing in the movie. Like three or four characters die right in a row without really any, there was no narrative arc for them. There was no fight back. It's just as a, like Adam Scott, I was like, they can't die like this quickly. And it's as though Michael Dougherty was just like, well, I've got 20 minutes of screen time. I have to kill all of these characters to be able to get to the final few moments, the denouement, like the falling action. This is the climax of the movie, so everybody dies. I don't know why, like that made no sense in the movie. And it didn't kill the third act for me, but it got close to me going like, why would they do this right now? Like there wasn't, for as much as I bitch about movies where people run away and get chased for too long, this had no chase. Like this had nothing.
Yeah. Well, they were in snow.
True.
I do like, but it does set us up for a very nice Mickey's Christmas Carol ending though. Like kids being held over a fiery, you know, essentially a fiery grave. It's like when he shows Scrooge as when Pete shows up as the Ghost of Christmas Future.
I don't remember any of that.
Mickey's Christmas Carol then, motherfucker.
Yes, I do.
What does this kid think is going to happen? Like, what does he think is going to happen
when he shows back up? I don't know. He should have sat there and taken his bell and said, all right, I'm going to teach the world about Krampus. Or
what
about
did
Christmas.
He say? He said, like, give me my family back. Take me.
At least he didn't say, give me my family back, bitch.
Right.
Oh, God. I hate that when that shit happens. Yeah. The use of the word bitch like that makes me, like, as the punctuation to a final scene, makes me so angry.
Like, the worst.
Only Freddy can say it.
The worst offender in this is in X-Men Last Stand when Vinnie Jones says, I'm
Does
Juggernaut,
the meme,
bitch.
Yeah, brings the meme into a movie.
Yeah. I'm Juggernaut, bitch. Yeah, so I don't, like, I love most of the movie, but I was kind of perplexed by the from the climax to the denouement. I don't know that, like, I get...
Speak English.
I'm sorry. The untangling, from the end of the movie to the untangling.
Okay,
denouement. No, so it gets more tangled, like it gets more confused, like it gets kind of confused. I do like the...
I like the coda.
I do too. I like the way that it twists what you're expecting for it to be. Like you expect, like, because I thought, like, as in the end, for those who are listening who haven't seen the movie, whoever you are, at the end, the kid demands.
Wait, hold up a second. If you haven't watched it, just go ahead and stop.
Go see it. Yeah.
Go watch it and then come back and pick up right here.
So at the end, the kid demands that his family be given back to him. Like, take me. This is the point in most movies where that happens, or like. But they usually do something. Like, he has no, what's it called, like, agency in this film. Like, he has no means to do anything. And so...
Can't threaten him with anything.
Yeah. So, like, he dies, but then he wakes up. Like, when that happened, I was like, oh, no, narratively, this is no good.
I thought it was fine. I thought we were in a Christmas Carol type situation, honestly, yes. where they learned their lesson. That's where I thought we were, and I think that's where it works. Right there.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're in a Christmas Carol. He's learned his lesson. Everybody's going to be not Scrooge anymore, and it'll be like Christmas.
I came around to that idea. Yeah, I came around to that. Like, okay, this is the Christmas Carol metaphor. Mm-hmm. Okay, and but then I love the moment where it sort of turns, where it sort of dog ears a little bit, where you're like, because he opens, does he receive the bell in this new reality?
Yeah, he gets a gift. His gift is, you know, oldly wrapped, shall we say.
And so let's explore that ending. So what does this mean? Does this mean that they are moving? Go ahead.
They got a Lexus. The Lexus to remember event.
it's a sign. It's a sign then drive event.
That commercial doesn't what Santa take all the families and their Lexuses and have them in their snow globes.
What I walked away with was immediately what I thought was like, oh, they're all just trapped in purgatory now. This is not they are all dead, but now this is where they live in Krampus's collection. That's what I thought.
And they just have Christmas Day over and over. Yeah.
We
and
don't
over.
Know if it's good or if it's bad. Jesus. We don't know what happens after that first day. It could be a living hell.
It looked pretty good though. It looked like a pretty good Christmas Day.
Groundhog Day.
It's really fucked up that Krampus has that much power over people.
I took it more as, yeah, they were in a sad sort of snow globe such. But again, if he is the flip side of Santa, Santa's watching you all year to make sure you're naughty or nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're just in a situation where Krampus is watching them to make sure that they don't lose the, in
Christmas
essence,
spirit.
The feeling of Christmas and the spirit of Christmas and love towards their family and stuff.
But do they continue living, or is it that they're trapped?
I think they were going to continue living because he's letting them go. When the kid pulled the bell out, the whole family, in my mind, they realized that maybe what had happened had not been a dream and that, you know, they might want to be more respectful and get their shit together.
Okay.
Because
makes a lot of sense.
The grandma, you know, she continued to live, clearly. So why would this kid...
But she also was the last remaining person. She was the not the revenant, but like, she was left.
She was left to remind people, right?
But her family never came back. In this one, they all die. Like, they all go into the fire.
Because the kid gave up his chance to be the, you know, harbinger of...
Yeah, the harbinger
of...
My favorite part was
Harbinger of Krampus should be the name of our first metal album.
Our metal Christmas album, yeah.
Was when he opens the bell and the closing song is Nickelback's How You Remind Me. This is how you remind
me. I think I watched a different
of how
ending.
I really feel.
I just
and his name is Chad Kruger, so it could be Chad Krampus.
I just am shocked that the entire thing was just Saint Elsewhere remake.
I know,
but who knew that was what we're gonna get to?
So did it also have the shocking stinger though? Did the ending, in addition to having the snow globe ending, also have the like jump up and scare you ending? Didn't it also have that where it's like all the characters ran at the screen or something?
Yeah, didn't something?
Jumped out at the end.
Wasn't it all like the?
I think it was all the toys.
Oh yeah. The creatures, the gifts, the teddy bear, the angel, the gingerbread man,
teddy bear.
And the clown.
The goblin army from Labyrinth.
Teddy bear looks like Freddy Fazbear from Five Nights at Freddy's.
Exactly. When I got out of Jackson asked if he could see this movie, and I said, "Well, let me check it out, buddy, because I don't know." After getting out, I was like, "There's no way you're watching this film.
Yeah,
because you will be so freaked." If The Visit freaked you out, this movie sent you over the edge. Yeah.
The Visit was PG-13 horror. This was R-rated horror, rated PG-13.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This was the Spielberg trick, Poltergeist trick here.
Yeah.
We
didn't want an R, so we got PG. How the fuck did you get PG?
But I definitely think it's a movie people should go see. Like, if you want to see more original horror movies, especially holiday themed ones, which are awesome, should definitely go see this movie.
A plug for the most underrated of the modern holiday horror films, which is Black Xmas. If you only saw it once, it's a lot better than you remember.
It's good. It's a good movie. I like it.
So, no, it got a bad rap, but it is definitely, that's the thing, it's not a good Black Christmas remake. It's great in its own right, because it is fucked up.
It really is.
Yeah.
In all the ways that you would want it to be fucked up.
Also, the Chiodo brothers, the clown, the Jack-in-the-Box, really made me think Chiodo brothers.
Yeah, yes, you're right.
Give a shout out. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we can get a Killer Clowns from Outer Space sequel.
I would like to see that.
Yeah. I see. Jackson see Killer Clowns from Outer Space. He did not like it. He did not find it as funny as I did.
Did he find it horrifying and nightmare inducing?
I hope he thinks about it still. Like, he doesn't tell me about it, but it haunts him at night.
When I was a kid, it was the scariest fucking movie, period. It was utterly horrifying.
I was terrified by The Elephant Man.
I was terrified by Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
The Elephant Man.
And the opening scene to Ghostbusters.
It's funny how The Elephant Man wasn't for a while a scary movie. Now it's just a sad film.
Oh, yeah. But when I was a kid, it was terrifying.
Yes.
Large Marge was terrifying.
Only later did I realize, like, oh, his mother really didn't get trampled by elephants. She was being raped by carnies. Anyway.
Now, that's how Freddy was made. It was Son of a Thousand Maniacs.
Raped by carnies. Raped by carnies is our second album.
There you go.
All right, guys. Go see Krampus. Thanks for listening. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Luna.
And again, thanks for listening. I know I realized I said that too early. Thanks for listening.
You can be thanked twice.
Don't forget to go online to cosmo.com/horrible and subscribe. You get a year's worth for half the price.
For all my tips on hair and makeup.
And bedazzled numbers.
Bedazzling.
We should just start doing
a satire podcast.
Or ironic post about listicle horror stuff, like
you guys
for the horror podcast. Chick.
You guys,
does your boyfriend/husband love horror? Here are five things to make his head explode.
But I used to seem like the cool girl, so boys.
And then you just say scanners,
right?
Scanners,
5 times.
And then you're in your mirror.
So 5 screens, you have to click to it.